May the dear Lord help me to say just a few things from Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Isaiah 65 verse 8, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Thus saith the Lord. The dear old prophet Elisha said, thus saith the Lord, about this time tomorrow, shall a measure of barley be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of fine flour be sold for a shekel. And the old prophet answered and said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, such a thing cannot be. He said, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not partake of it. Thus saith the Lord. He saw it with his eyes and he never partook. Thus saith the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall be gleaned like the vine. Thus saith the Lord. Turn again thine hand to grape gatherers. Are you a grape gatherer, friend? Are you really? Turn your hand again into the basket. What does that mean? Keep gathering, keep gathering. Keep gathering the spoil up. Keep putting it in the basket. Have you checked your basket recently? How much you got in there, friend? Thus saith the Lord. If you have this attached, this word attached, thus saith the Lord, to any verse, any sentence, any promise in Scripture, be assured of this. The Lord is in it. The Lord is actually in the word for you. It will be accomplished. It will be brought to pass. He does mean what he says, friends. Satan says he doesn't. Your own wicked heart said he doesn't. God said he does. He means it. Thus saith the Lord. Have you got one in your heart? You know, friends, where this is attached to something in Scripture, it's a weighty matter. It's a matter of importance. Right the way through Scripture. And it is a matter of importance with us, isn't it? Time. Fast running out, friends. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your circumstances. You can't stop the clock, can you? Time is running out. It's a weighty matter to us, isn't it? It should be. Eternity. It's weighty. There's always a solemn side to every single Scripture, friend. Thus saith the Lord. It's got to be two-sided, hasn't it? Well, he will accomplish it. He will. There are many monuments of grace that have passed through these walls that have had a thus saith the Lord accomplished. Each one could turn and look at the promise and say the Lord fulfilled it. And if you're walking that pathway today, one day, friend, you'll look at that promise and think the Lord fulfilled it for me. Thus saith the Lord. He was true. He was honest. Why do you think he said, I am the truth? Because he is. Whatever he speaks and commands, it is done. It holds fast forever. Not just for a few days like our poor speech. His is forever. And never man spake like this man. Never. Think of when the centurion came to him and Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Oh, what a willing heart. He didn't even know how far away he lived, friend. He could have come from miles, couldn't he, that centurion? We're not told. But the one thing on Jesus' heart was, I will come and heal him. Time and distance meant nothing to him at all, if it was one of his. He went across the lake for the mad Gadarene. He went out into the wilderness, didn't he, of Samaria for the one lady. Didn't matter, did it? Didn't matter how far he had to travel. He went with a willing heart. But the centurion stopped him. And he said to him, speak the word only. Ah, thus saith the Lord. He knew, friends. Have you been taught it? Have I been taught it? It takes years, doesn't it? We're such poor learners, aren't we? I don't think we'll ever really learn it, will we, until we're landed safe above. Thus saith the Lord. And the dear old centurion said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And the Lord did it for him. He only spoke. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. You know, there's a lovely word, isn't there? My word shall not return unto me void. Thus saith the Lord. If he sent a thus saith the Lord into your heart, friend, it will not return unto him void. It'll grow. Yes, it'll grow in your heart. Where will it grow? To him. That's where it'll grow. And you'll grow with it. You will. He commands, grow in grace. Grow in grace. And I believe his word in you growing helps you to grow in grace. You'll never grow otherwise. Do you know that we grow lower and lower and lower? You don't see plants doing that, do you? Plants don't get smaller, do they? The child of God does. As he grows nearer and nearer Christ, friend, he gets smaller and smaller. It's unnatural, isn't it? Can't be possible, can it? If you plant something, it grows, doesn't it? Upwards, towards the sun. Well, you and I, friend, are going growing down towards the sun. That's where we're growing. If you're growing in grace. Show me someone that's growing in grace, friend. They won't be very big, will they? But you still need watering, don't you? You still need the precious rays of the sun, don't you? It doesn't matter how small you're growing. In your own sight. It's what you're growing in his, isn't it? That's the thing. It's what you're growing in the dear Redeemer's sight. That's the thing. Growing grace. Thus saith the Lord. Well, he says, every bottle shall be full of wine. Every bottle. Shall be full of wine. I thought of that, friend, in your little vessel that the Lord's given you. If the Lord really has given you a little vessel, he'll fill it with wine. He will. There's not one vessel that the Lord has given here on earth that he doesn't fill. I like that little Sunday school hymn that we used to sing sometimes, and it says this, a little vessel full of thee. That's it, isn't it? That's what you and I desire, isn't it? A little vessel. Not a great big one, not to be some, a little vessel full of thee. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine. Oh, this new wine. Wine's a lovely thing, isn't it? To a heavy heart. That's what it's for, friend. That's what the scripture tells us. Wine for a heavy heart. Wine to cheer the man's countenance. And it does something. The wine of the kingdom. You know, if you've actually tasted this wine, I believe your one desire is that others should taste it too. It is. That's why the dear old prophet and the psalmist and the servants of God said, come and taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He tasted it. And you know, in our day and age, men go round, don't they, it's their profession, to go round tasting wine, don't they? You think, dear friend, they taste it and they spit it out. And then they go on and they taste more. And then they taste more. They're never satisfied. They might find a good one now and again, but they're never satisfied. Friend, if you're a child of God, one sip of this glorious wine, you'll never spit it out. Never. No. It'll be yours forever, friend. And there's nothing to compare with it as the new wine. The new wine. There's nothing on earth to compare with it, friend. If you've really tasted the wine of the gospel, there's nothing. Search the world through. There's nothing like it. A precious Christ to fill your heart. There's no wine on earth like it is. But what a type the Lord gives us, doesn't he, of wine. And the thing is, it's all different strengths, isn't it? It's all different strengths. There's a percentage on the bottle, isn't there? Friend, can you see the beauty of it? He doesn't give strong meat to little babes, does he? He gives the milk of the gospel. Same as this wine. You wouldn't be able to take it, would you, you and I? Think of the wine they're drinking in glory. Think of it, friend. The wine that's served at the table, the gospel table, the glorious table in heaven. Think of what wine is served up there. Your body and my body couldn't take it, could they? Jesus said that new wine must be put into new bottles. That's why you and I have to be born again, friend. We have to have a new bottle. We do. If that new wine was put into this old, poor, wretched man, we wouldn't be able to contain it, would we? And that's why he gives you a new bottle. And he pours in that new wine to satisfy the longing heart. It's absolutely beautiful to my heart as I stand here and think the privilege that God pours in that glorious wine of the kingdom straight into the sinner's heart that is renewed. Oh, the strength that comes from this wine. Well, this treasure, and always remember it, friends. I know you know it, but always remember it. This treasure is in earthen vessels. Poor, poor clay vessels, and this glorious wine of the kingdom is poured into us. You're trying to make yourself better. You're trying to renew yourself. Earthen vessel. You'll always be an earthen vessel. You'll never be anything else until he changes you. You'll always have this old earthen vessel with you. You will. Oh, it's new wine. Well, I thought of when the dear Redeemer went to the wedding. You know the account, don't you? He was at the wedding. Beautiful, isn't it? The King of Kings was at the wedding, friend. He's not at every wedding nowadays, is he? We're living in some solemn days, friend, where the King is not at the wedding. And he would never be invited to the wedding. And he would never, ever go through the doors of some weddings the way we're behaving in our nation. What's on their statute books? It's not a wedding that the Lord would be found at. But he went to this wedding. And they run out of wine. Ah. What a beautiful account that is, isn't it? They run out of wine. Who did they turn to? Well, tell me, friend, who do you turn to? There's a lot of empty pots there. There's a lot with water in. Look at our churches throughout the nation. Who do they turn to for the wine? They turn to Jesus. They turn straight to Jesus. There's some teaching there in there. For your heart and my heart. Do you turn to him? Do you turn to him for the smallest things? Do you turn to him in everything, friend? Well, his mother said, do whatever he commandeth thee. Do whatever he saith. And he commanded that the water pot should be filled with water. Think of the disdain that the people were thinking of him. Think of the thoughts that were going through their hearts. Ah, what beautiful love was going through his heart. He said to them, yes, friend, out of a poor earthen vessel, a poor earthen vessel just made of clay with water in it. But listen to what he said. Draw out. Draw out. And it was the drawing. It was the drawing out, wasn't it? Those servants that went and they took the water and they poured it out to the guests. Come in here sometimes, have you? Not expecting anything. And you've had a couple of pourings out, haven't you? You thought there was nothing for you. You looked at the text and thought, that doesn't even involve me. It's nothing to do with me at all. It's only water. Friend, he turned it into wine. He turned it into wine. And you know, as the governor of the feast drank it, he was astounded. Most men give that which is best at the first, when most men are drunk. Think of it. When most men have had enough, then they give the worst out. Thou has left the best till last. Thou had never tasted wine like it. Oh, my friends, may you sit many days, many years under the glorious gospel and drinking that precious wine. That wine that even the governor said, thou hast left the best till last. But I thought something about this. I was just thinking dinner time and I thought, how wonderful. Jesus is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, friend. Will you and I be there? He will be at that wedding as the glorious bridegroom. Will you be the bride? Will I be the bride? When he pours out, he says to his dear disciples, he says, I will not drink it until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. New with you in the kingdom. Think. And we have those times of the month, don't we? Where we sit at the Lord's table and we remember the fruit of the vine. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. But just to say, friends, when he pours out, you think of that first time that he ever poured out that wine to his disciples. What it represented. May those of us who have made a public profession and told that we believe in Jesus, spoken of how we know him and how he knows us, and we partake of that precious wine in remembrance of him, of him. May we always sit at the Lord's table in remembrance of him, that precious wine. And there's a lovely verse, isn't there? Isaiah, one of the chapters, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy. Yea, come, he that hath no money, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Friends, he hasn't put a price on it for you and I to buy, but the price is his own precious blood. That was the price of the wine of the kingdom. That was the price of the wine that you and I taste, friends. His own precious, precious blood. Oh, as a new wine is found in the cluster. I can't go over this word found. Found in the cluster. We read that, didn't we? I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Found. Lovely word this, isn't it? Found. Something that you didn't possess. Something that wasn't yours by nature. Something that's not naturally yours. Found. Found. And Jesus illustrates so many times in the Gospels, doesn't he? Where something was lost and then it was found. Well, you know what question I'm going to ask you, don't you? And my own heart too. Has he found you? Has he found me? Seekers will be finders, friend. You know, when the disciples went looking for Jesus, do you know where they found him? They found him on the other side of the lake. They found him on the other side of the sea. They looked everywhere for him and then they found him. And they said to him, whence comest thou here? And do you know, when I read that, friend, it struck my heart. If you find him the other side of the sea, it'll be too late for you, friend. If you find him on the other bank, it'll be too late. Because everybody shall see him then. Every eye shall see him. We must find him on this shore. We must find him this side of the sea. We must be found of him this side of the sea, friend. The Sea of Jordan, the River Jordan. But as the new wine is found in the cluster, this cluster. It's a lovely word, cluster. What does it mean? It means many things together. That's what it means. I was looking the other day at a basket of fruit that we've got on the side, and we've got some grapes there. They're not all big bunches, friend. You remember when they went down to the grapes of Eshcol? You remember when they had to carry the bunches back between two poles? That's how big they were. Not the grapes were big, the bunches were big. Still a cluster. Still a cluster. And they couldn't manage it. One man couldn't manage it. Think of the sight, just naturally. Think of the sight. If you saw two men carrying that bunch of grapes from Eshcol. Well, I looked in our fruit bowl and there was a little bunch of grapes. And on this one cluster, they were all different sizes. They weren't all the same size. And that spoke to me, that did. They were all grapes. Even the small ones were grapes. Even the tiny little ones were grapes, friends. As well as the big ones. And I thought of the Lord's dealings with his people. They're not all big, are they? The ways he teaches us, the ways he leads us in. They're not all big, are they? Those tiny little ones. Those tiny little ones that you think, well, it's not hardly worth eating. It's still a grape. It's still a dealing from God. Whatever you're in, friend, however small it is, and it is the trouble with us, we're always looking for big things. However small that grape is, it's still a grape. However small the Lord deals with you, however small, it's still a dealing. It's still a way that he's working with you. It's still in the cluster. It's still in the cluster. Now there's a beautiful thing as you think of that, isn't there? As you look at the bunch of grapes, they're all joined together. Every grape is joined to another grape. How? Via those little twigs, those little branches, but they're all joined together. All of them. And I thought the wonderful way the Lord deals with his people. Did he deal with you 20 years ago? And you really wonder whether he's still dealing with you, don't you? He is. He is, friends. In the cluster. In the cluster. You know, you look at a bunch of grapes and they're not all close together, are they? Some of those little branches are quite long, aren't they? Some are very close together. Same as the dealings of the Lord. Sometimes it'll be day by day. Sometimes it'll be once that year and once that year. But it's still in the cluster. Still in the cluster. Now, if you look back at your life and I look back at mine, how big is your cluster? If you've got one grape, one is part of a bunch. Grapes don't grow on their own. It's lovely teaching, isn't it? Isn't it lovely teaching? Just naturally, if you go to a vineyard, friend, you don't see one grape growing on its own, do you? They come in bunches. So does the Lord's dealings with his people. Always. Always. If you've had one grape 30, 40, 50 years ago, friend, it's in the cluster and you'll see him again. You will. He'll come again. He'll bless you again. Why? Because he's making up his cluster. That's what he's doing. He's making it all up. I really believe that when the Lord gathers in his jewels, when he said they shall be mine, the grapes of Eshcol, the bunches of grapes of Eshcol will be small compared with the bunch that's going to glory. Compared with the number that's going to glory in this cluster, and they'll all be joined together. They will. Every one of them will be joined together as though it's one bunch. And yet they'll be gathered from Africa, Asia, wherever it is in the world, they'll be gathered, but they'll all be brought together in one cluster for the Lord, because they're his. As the new, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And friend, if you had that new wine of the kingdom, you'll be in that cluster. You will. Look at it personally. In your own life, in my own life. We haven't got many grapes to show, have we? We haven't got much fruit for the Lord, have we? We don't grow much for him, do we? We couldn't produce much wine for him, could we? That's why we rely upon him. That's why we turn to him for everything. You know, the vine dresser wouldn't be very happy, would he, if he went to the vine and there was no grapes. No grapes at all. Why? Because there would be no wine, friend. No wine. Lay it to heart. May we be exercised over it. That we are producing. That we are producing. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If you don't produce fruit, what will he do? What would a normal vine dresser do? He'd go and cut off all the dead branches. They're no good to him, are they? If they're not producing fruit, because that means no wine. It's the same in the kingdom. It's the same in the spiritual kingdom, friend. If we're not producing wine, if we're not producing fruit, there's no wine. You know it, don't you? Some of you know it, don't you? Oh, that we could all know it. Oh, that we could have and drink full draughts of that heavenly wine. That real wine found in the cluster. You know, Solomon said, my beloved is like a cluster of camphire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. And what does that mean? Well, friends, it means this camphire was little flowers, yellow and white flowers, and they were always found in the cluster. In the vineyards. And I thought something so lovely come to me while I was thinking this. I thought, my beloved is my, like a cluster of campfire. But friends, in many ways, if you think of the ways that he's revealed himself to you, think of the ways that he's displayed himself to you, at the end of your life, friend, they're making up a cluster of what he is to you. How precious he is to you. It's not just once, is it? It's a blessing if it's once. Believe me, it's a blessing if it's once. But I really believe the Lord will give you these yellow and white flowers and they'll slowly be gathered together as a cluster. I went to see this old man laying on a bed in hospital recently. And I spoke a word to him. And he looked at me. He said, "That's our blessed Jesus." That's all he said to me. He said, "That's our Jesus." And as I stand here, I think, it's a cluster. All those little things being brought together right down to the end to make up that little cluster for each one of us. Oh, to be found in that cluster of the Lord. You know, the wine, so often our silver's tarnished, isn't it? Look at your silver that the Lord's given you. You go round these places where they've got lots of silver and brass and that. If it's not kept clean, it tarnishes, doesn't it? You can't see yourself in it, can you? It's pretty dull, isn't it? Wants shining up again, doesn't it? Well, you look in your heart, friend, sometimes. It's pretty dull, isn't it? You need the Lord to shine it up. But what I was coming to, friends, is this. And the wine, the scripture tells us, is mixed with water. Watered down. We justify anything. Oh, what wretched hearts we've got. We need that clear, pure wine, don't we? Not watered down. No. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not. Well, we would, wouldn't we? We'd say that little bunch isn't worth anything. You know, there's a lot to be destroyed in us, isn't there? Self. Do you find that daily destroying? Do you find the pride in your heart needs destroying, doesn't it? It rises up and do you destroy it? No. Does it need destroying? Yes. But who destroys it? The Lord destroys it in us, doesn't he? He destroys this old self. You look at the apostle's life, how he needed self-destroying, didn't he? He needed that destroying every day. But there's so many things that need destroying in us, and we read of those things in scripture that needed to be destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah needed to be destroyed, friend, but there was one pleading. One pleading. Wilt thou? Wilt thou? Wilt thou, Lord? He said, I won't destroy it for 10. 10 didn't come out, did it? 10 didn't come out, so he destroyed it. The destroying angel came and destroyed. But what I'm coming to, friends, where the Lord can't see his work, he'll destroy. He will, it's as plain as that. It's as clear as that. Where the Lord can't see his work, he'll destroy. And there's no sympathy and compassion where he can't see his work. Whole nations, if he can't see his work, he'll wipe them away. It's solemn, but it's true. It's true. He'll destroy nations of the earth where his work isn't. And you and I, shamefully, try to destroy his work. We do. Our wicked heart, and in league with Satan, we would destroy it in another person. We would. I'm speaking honestly before you, friends. We would actually destroy it, if we could, in another person. He hasn't got that. He's got nothing. You know it in your own heart, don't you? May the Lord put a lid on it and keep it in there. Or deal with it. That's the thing, deal with it. All the destroying that's needed. But here he says, destroy it not. Destroy it not. Who can tell? Listen to the silent whisper of scriptures, friends. Who can tell? Don't destroy it. There might be something in it. Believe me, friend, if it's of the Lord, there is something in it. And never, ever give up. Never give up. Always hold on. Where there's life, there's hope. Don't destroy it. I know in my own heart the times I've tried to destroy things. I thought, the Lord's not in this. I'll get rid of it. The Lord's not leading me this way, I'll turn another way. That's wrong, isn't it? Isn't it wrong? Don't put your hand to it, friend. Speaking on authority of Scripture, never put your hand to it. Never. Destroy it not. Don't turn it aside, just wait, just wait. In the realm of divine things, friends, wait. There's always something to wait for. There's always something to see. There's always something to long for. Don't destroy it. You'll feel like it. Oh, you will feel like it sometimes. These small things and the big things that come. Perhaps one or two of you are walking in those big things today. They've come and you thought, I'll destroy this. This is no good for me at all. Don't destroy it, friend. No. Whatever comes to you, it comes from the Lord. Destroy it now. What a thought, isn't it? That our hearts would destroy his work in our hearts. Oh, they would. I think of the things, dear friends, that sometimes I look at, and I know you do. And you think, yes, that's destroyed. That's destroyed. It's not. It's not destroyed, friend. No. Some beautiful things the Lord changes. You know, he changes the curse into a blessing, and we never expected it. Never expected it at all. Nor were you, friends. If the Lord turns a curse into a blessing for you, you would have destroyed it, wouldn't you? Doesn't it bring us up short? Doesn't it question us? Doesn't it? Who's destroying things, but the Lord doesn't destroy them at all? No. Even the smallest blade of grass is a blade of grass. Even the smallest grain is a grain. Oh, the human nature. Destroy it not. Oh, you see, it's almost like you can hear the dear Lord saying, don't destroy it. Don't destroy it. I know it's hard for you now. I know it's hard for you at the moment. I know it's going against the grain. Don't destroy it. Don't destroy it. All those times of weeping, all those times of kneeling by the bed, don't destroy it. Just wait. Just wait and see. I'll work. And who shall let it? Don't you do it, friends. That's the thing, isn't it? Don't open that door. We're so prone to force the door, aren't we? If the Lord's not going to open it, then I'm going to open it. No. No. That's not what we should be like. That's not the life of a believer, is it? That's not the life of faith. That's our wretched nature, isn't it? If that door opens, I'm going to shut it. Don't destroy it. Wait for the door to open. And I tell you what, the beautiful hand that opens the door is the same hand that shuts the door. Don't destroy it. Oh, may it speak to each of our hearts. You know, we're so short-sighted, aren't we? We're so limited. So may this be a word to each one of us. Each child of God. Don't destroy it, friend. Your little hope, don't destroy it. That little confidence, cast it not away. Cast it not away. It hath great recompense of reward. Don't destroy it. Beautiful words, aren't they? For a blessing is in it. Think of it. A blessing is in it. That's why when the vine dresser goes round his crop and he looks round and they're all tiny little grapes, he don't go around cutting them all off. He waits. He waits. Because there's a blessing in it. Providentially, there's a blessing in it, friend. Don't destroy it. Whatever path you're in this afternoon, don't destroy it. Providentially, there's a blessing in it. Whatever you're in spiritually, you know, don't you? You know. There's a blessing in it, isn't there? A real blessing from glory. A blessing to establish you in the truth. What will the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? And wouldn't you have destroyed the foundation? Don't destroy it, friend. There's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. You know, just briefly, time's gone, isn't it? You know, dear old Jabez, look at him. Did ever a man pray a cluster of things? He did, didn't he? And every single one of those prayers was joined together. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That thou wouldst enlarge my coast. That thou wouldst do this, that thou wouldst do that. It was a cluster, and he laid it all before the Lord. Everything there was joined together. He didn't destroy it. And the Lord didn't destroy it, did he? Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And look at the answer that came back. From the vine, friend. From the vine. That's what you've got to remember. That's what I've got to remember. The answer that comes back comes from the vine. Otherwise there'll be no branch, there'll be no fruit. But that lovely cluster of prayer that he gave in, the sap flowed back through to him, and he granted him his request. He received the sap. Oh, do you go to God in prayer? Have you got a cluster of things? It's not just one thing, is it? You can hardly count up the things sometimes when you fall before him in prayer, can you? You go here, you go there in your heart, don't you? You go to this one, you go to that one, and then mainly it's you, isn't it? The things that are wrong with me. Oh, the cluster of things. And you feel sap come back. Sap come back. He granted him his request. He got the blessing he wanted. Dear old Jabez. Look at Caleb's daughter. She said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. She said, give me a blessing. She didn't just whisper it to God, friend. She didn't just whisper it to her father. Give me a blessing, Lord. Give me a blessing. Everybody else seems to have a blessing and I don't. Give me a blessing. Look what came back. Look what came back, friend. He gave her the Southland. He gave her two lands. The North and the South. Heavenly blessings and providential blessings. What a cluster. What a cluster. She could hardly carry them, could she? Just briefly, I think of dear old Jacob. Dear old Jacob. If ever that man had a cluster to take to the Lord, he did. Look at the children. But early on in his life, he put his little cluster over the brook. He put his two wives and the family over. He could have gone another way. Think of that. He didn't have to go and meet Esau. He could have gone right round. That wasn't the way. The Lord said to him, return to thine own land. And Esau came to meet him, but he didn't destroy it, did he? You and I would, wouldn't we? If the enemy came to us with 300 men, would you continue to walk before them? You wouldn't, would you? Nor would he without God, friend. Nor would he. No. He put his little band over the brook, and then he went to prayer, and that man had a cluster. He had a cluster. But friend, the dear uncreated angel came and poured in that glorious heavenly wine. He said, let me go. No, Jacob wasn't going to let go, was he? He was holding on tight. You know, faith doesn't let go. If you've got faith, you know faith doesn't let go. It can't let go. Once it grasps hold of Christ, it will not let go. Until it gets what it wants. Until it gets what the Lord gives it. Well, dear old Jacob clung to that uncreated angel. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Let me go. No. Jacob wouldn't let go. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Listen, friend. He blessed him there. He blessed him there. Jacob could now face Esau. Think of it. In your life and my life. Oh, don't destroy it, friend. There's a blessing in it. We could go on, couldn't we? Look at dear old Joseph. Dear old Joseph. The cluster of things he had. And they did work for his good, didn't they? He couldn't see it at the time. But one by one, I believe, the Lord puts everything together and he says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And dear old Joseph, when he looked back, he said, you thought it for evil. But look at the bunch I'm looking at. God thought it for good, meant it for good. Every single one, from the pit to the throne, God meant it for good. I'll have to leave it. Do you know, it's such a shame. Well, it's a shame for me to leave such a glorious subject, friend. To see in the hand of all the dear servants of God a cluster of grapes that the Lord had given them. New wine found in it. He says, a blessing is in it. Well, there's so many blessings in Scripture. But friend, the main thing is, have you and I received the blessing of heaven upon us? Have we really got that within our heart that we can lay claim to that's making up that cluster? And just one other thing. The Lord has got his own cluster for his people. Have you trusted him? Are you relying on him? Do you believe in him? They're all clusters. All clusters that he's got for his people individually and as a church. Oh, may we know more of it. Think of the cluster of promises. He doesn't give them all to you, does he? Because we wouldn't be able to cope with them all, would we? But one is joined to another. Is joined to another. Is joined to another. All of his dealings, all of his works are joined to each other. May you and I be joined together. May we be joined together to the whole church. Because I believe they are. I believe there is sap flowing from the vine to the branch to the fruit. All together. One vine, many branches, much fruit, but all one. Oh, may we know it. I just want to say this. As I end, so will I do for my servant's sake. I won't keep you, but there's so many of the Lord's servants in the Scriptures, and everyone that is a believer, however much you believe, however small you believe, however big you are in Zion, however small you are in Zion, you're a servant. You're a servant to him. You are. And he says, that I may do it for my servant's sake. Think. Are you serving him in just a little way? Just a little way. Whatever way it is. The many menial jobs. Those things that other people don't want to do. It's still serving the Lord. Whatever it is. For my servant's sake. There's so much in this, isn't there? But I just want to say, that was a beautiful heading over the top of the hymn on the first one. It says, behold my servant whom I uphold. And I so wanted to speak of him. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. For his sake. That's it, isn't it? For his sake. Every prayer that we ever pray is for his sake, not ours. This one glorious servant for his sake. For Jesus' sake. Do you say it when you end your prayers? Do you mean it? Because you won't get an answer to prayer unless it's for his sake alone. I'll leave it. I'll leave it. But it is lovely, isn't it? And I will bring forth, and thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. Oh, these dear servants, keep serving him. Keep serving him, friend. Whatever it is, whatever you do, whatever we do, keep serving him for thy servants' sakes. Because look at the dear servant of all. For his sake do it, friend. For his sake. Amen.